This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Winter is coming. It's getting steadily colder and darker, and the nation is still reeling from a presidential election that pretty well split voters down the middle. Maybe a good time for a healing bowl of soup.
When I think about being sick as a child, I think about my mother bringing me a bowl of soup.
That's cookbook author and Here and Now's official chef, Kathy Gunst.
There was something about soup as medicine, soup as healing. You have to take your time with it. It's very hot. You want to blow on it. You kind of take a moment of taking it in, and then you have your first slurp and you spoon it in, and it's a food that requires some thoughtfulness.
For Kathy, that kind of appreciation is not a solo experience. It's meant to be shared with friends and loved ones. And that's the gist of her new book, Soup Swap: Comforting Recipes for Making and Sharing. And if that sounds a little too kumbaya to you, Kathy would be the first to admit she is not a fan of the potluck.
If you invite me to dinner, I would really like you to cook it for me, okay? I don't want to bring the main course to your house. I'd rather have you come to my house and give you the main course.
It all started about 6 years ago when Kathy's friend Hope called and proposed a soup swap. One person hosts, makes the salad, the bread, and the dessert, and everyone else brings a pot of soup. Kathy thought, that sounds like a potluck.
And I'm thinking, I'm not in. No. And then she says, and then at the end of the party, we go home with six different types of homemade soup, all the leftovers, and you're not stuck with that same pot of soup all week long. Then I started to get interested. I'm thinking, all I have to do is make one pot of soup, and I go home with six. So do the math. It works. It's a win-win. So we started
half a dozen years later, the monthly soup swappers are still rotating hosting duties among a group of 12. None of them vegetarians, which was by design.
We didn't want to have to always be thinking, oh, will she eat that? Oh, does he eat that? So I highly recommend that you do this with like-minded cooks. You know, really, I mean, a vegan soup swap, awesome. Just not for me. I'm going to get in trouble for that.
Soup, Kathy says, carries a story. So the group has made a tradition of telling an origin story before they sit down to eat. It's a way of acknowledging the work and also helps bring the group together, physically and culturally.
So we would go around the room and I might say, I made matzo ball soup because this is what we always had for Passover, and my mother-in-law taught me how to add seltzer to matzo balls to make them really light and fluffy. Yeah, great tip. Or you might say, I made Hungarian mushroom soup because my grandparents came from Hungary and my grandmother always used to make this for me when I was a little girl, and I found four types of mushrooms in the market. And someone else might start to tell us about how they just took a trip to Vietnam and tasted their first pho. The soups become storytelling.
I think my story might be, I was raised on Campbell's soup from a can. My mother opened up the can, put it in a saucepan with that big and then heated it up.
And I bet you 90% of people listening to you are nodding their heads going, me too. I grew up on tomato soup from Campbell's. Thank you very much. I thought that was our last name. Okay, now I'm going to cry because the shallots are so fresh.
That idea of hosting a soup swap as the weather gets colder is so inviting. But finding culinary inspiration can be a little bit daunting. So I visited the James Beard Award-winning cookbook author and Here and Now's resident chef at her home kitchen in southern Maine on a raw fall day to get some one-on-one soup-making tips. The first thing she wanted to do was dispel a common myth that soup is only good for starters.
Soup is not always a snack or a first course. When you put love and time into it, it can be your main course. So we are going to have a Thai red curry chicken noodle soup. In about 15 minutes, this kitchen's going to smell like a Bangkok market on a rainy Maine day. But we're going to start by just chopping some shallots and getting those cooking.
And Kathy was right. In just a few minutes, there were rich smells of ginger and turmeric and curry filling her kitchen. And as the shallots cooked, Kathy gave me some soup tips. Number one, make funky toppings.
So one of the things I found writing this book is that by doing a few really simple things like chopping herbs or grating cheese or making croutons from polenta or whirling up some chives and olive oil for like a chive pesto, and these very simple kind of toppings for soups can elevate a soup from kind of like yum to wow, what is this? So the shallots are going to be a bit of a topping. I'm crying from the onions. Give me one second.
I should wear my onion goggles.
Do you have onion goggles? Tip number two, you got to have the right equipment. In this case, onion goggles.
Look at these.
Oh my God.
I know, you need a picture. This is the best.
I'll take it. Hang on.
Tip number three has to do with what Kathy calls the S word. Stock.
It's enough for people to think about making soup, but if you start talking about stock, they really become terrified. It's like, you know, you've said, well, you're going to perform brain surgery and it'll be fine. But so what I try to explain to
Kathy people... Kathy says she throws a couple of raw chickens, some vegetables, and spices into a pot.
I cover it. I put it on low. I walk away and live my life. And an hour and a half, 2 hours later, I have this gorgeous, rich pot of chicken stock that I can then freeze. I can use it for a soup today. I can use it for a soup in February. It's not that scary. Let me turn the tea.
Tip number four, for soup with noodles or rice, you want to cook them separately.
If I were just to throw the noodles in, it would just suck up all the broth and we'd have this gloppy mess. So I always cook rice, orzo, any kind of pasta separately, undercook it slightly, and then I add it to the soup.
While we spoke, Kathy moved effortlessly around the kitchen, giving a little stir to the simmering flavors, pouring steaming pots of stock into a strainer, and making me a cup of tea. Her final tip doubles as a metaphor for good company. You let the soup sit. It gets better with time.
Right now, these ingredients are strangers to each other, right? They're just getting to know each other. But in a few hours, they're going to be good friends. And tomorrow, they're going to be really good friends. So the sitting with the soup is almost always a good idea, even if you only have a few hours. But it's really nice to give it time to kind of let the flavors emerge.
Kathy is a devotee of the soup swap, not just because she loves to cook and because she's a Yankee now and really likes to bring home leftovers, but because food has a way of bringing people together. And whether you're talking about a good recipe or a good gathering, that sort of quality takes some time to grow. As for the Thai red curry chicken noodle soup, I will say it was delicious right out of the pot. And I should say, I'm not a fan of that radio reporter tastes or chews or slurps food and then says, on the air. Some things are just better experienced in person or face-to-face.
So do you think having soup swaps might be a good way to heal the partisan divide?
I wish. If only the partisan divide could be fixed. But if anything can do it, yes, soup. Time to get your soup on.
Kathy Gunt's new book is called Soup Swap, Comforting Recipes for Making and Sharing. And we posted the recipe for Thai red curry chicken noodle soup from the book at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Kathy will be speaking and sharing recipes at Gibson's Bookstore in Concord tomorrow. And you can find more about that at wordofmouthradio.org.
How much soup can you eat if everybody's bringing these big pots of soup?
Well, the idea is that you don't have a huge pot. We use little ramekins and tiny little bowls. When you're at a soup swap, you just taste what you want to taste in any order. And then everybody's like, oh, you got to try her tomato soup, or you got to try this Thai curry soup, or, oh, his fish chowder is amazing. And a lot of comparing notes, maybe like a wine tasting.